From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as it may be, wherever you are in all these prolific time zones around the world. Howdy, everybody. I'm Art Bell, filling in for President Norrie this evening, who's getting a well-deserved night off. I can tell you from having done it for decades that it's a rough haul, and when you get a night off, you deserve to turn the radio off and simply enjoy it. So we will fill in this night. I'd like to assure you that my wife, Erin, is well indeed. A more loving, supportive wife a person could, I guess, not ask for. She's just incredible. And updating you on our offspring. If you want to check coasttocoastam.com, it says Art's webcam up toward the top of the page there. Just click on that. And that is a picture taken by Erin, I think, about a week ago. So that picture is about a week old. And our precious little one, Asia Rainbell, is now, as of today, 6 months old. So it is her six-month birthday today. All else well in the AB household. Yeti, Abby, Dolly. Boy, Dolly is something. She's a little Filipina immigrant cat that we brought with us, and she's really a darling. She sleeps curled up to my legs every night, all night. And to finish up on the personal stuff, tomorrow, Saturday, our little Asia becomes a new Catholic, baptized. And so we will try and stumble our way through the baptism tomorrow. It's sort of a ritual kind of thing, and I'm not sure I'm altogether prepared for it, but I'm sure one way or the other, we will make it through. Again, to see a picture of Asia, just go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Up toward the top, it'll say Art's webcam. Click on that, and there she is, her little head in the air. She's now... Well, see, that's the trouble. When dads get talking about their little ones, it's hard to stop them. But she can now turn over. For a while, you know, she would just turn over to her belly, and then she would get frustrated that she was on her belly, and she couldn't get back around. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, she has learned to turn around the other way. So that ends a lot of baby frustration for her. She can actually turn back around. Now she wants to grab cups of coffee and anything else that her little eyes can see. All right, we're going to take a look at the world news, never a totally pleasant task, and then get on to the real stuff. It was interesting. Somebody walked into a Clinton office, campaign office, said he had a bomb strapped on him, and they thought he did. Whole thing went on about 6 hours. He finally gave up, let all the hostages out, gave up peacefully and came out and wanted to talk to somebody about mental health accessibility. I suspect he's accessed the mental health system by now. Four arrested in the murder of the Redskins' Taylor. Police said two men and two juveniles were arrested Friday in the shooting death of Washington Redskins star Sean Taylor. Unbelievable. Went to his home intent on stealing, not killing. And I guess I heard he locked the door, and I guess they heard him locking the door to the bedroom or whatever and crashed through and shot him. Congressional Democrats reached a compromise late Friday to boost automobile fuel economy by 40%. Boy, we can sure use that, huh? Clearing the way for a House vote probably next week or so on an energy bill that Democrats would like to send to the president before Christmas. Wonder if he'd consider it a Christmas present. The agreement came after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reached an accord with Representative Dingell from Michigan, a longtime protector of the auto industry that dominates his home state. Evel Knievel's gone, folks. An icon. I think for most of us, my age, certainly. Evel Knievel, at 69 years of age, dead after a long bout with diabetes and pulmonary problems. Take care, buddy. We all watched you. An Amtrak train ran right into the back of a freight train in Chicago, crushed one end of a box car under its wheels Friday. It injured dozens, some seriously. And then finally, looking at the depressing world, get this, the Bush administration intends to slash counterterrorism funds for police, firefighters, and rescue departments all across America by more than half next year. Now, that's a big cut. That's a really big cut. It's going to slash counterterrorism funds by half. The Homeland Security Department has given about $23 billion to states and local communities to fight terrorism since September 11. And I guess the thinking in Washington, right or wrong, is that that's enough. And we're ready. And so now we'll, cut the funds or something. We're going to be doing unscreened open line calls for the balance of this hour, but in a moment we will peruse the other news. You know, the state of Massachusetts is actually trying to outlaw spanking. I saw that on CNN the other day. What is going on in our nation? Outlaw, pass a law against spanking? Now, obviously, nobody wants to see any child struck and the line crossed to child abuse, but outlaw spanking? Weren't most of you spanked? I certainly was. And there are times, not many, hopefully, when for a child's own welfare, they have to understand what no means. And if it takes a little swat on the tail to reinforce that. But to outlaw spanking, what are they going to do? Carry parents that have been rumored to spank off to jail? Yikes. Japan. Now, if you're going to Japan, you might want to listen up. They're going to fingerprint and photograph foreigners entering their country beginning next month as an anti-terrorism policy. And there's a lot of people really angry about it. Anyone considered to be a terrorist or refusing to cooperate. I wonder if that would include somebody going to save the dolphin slaughter. Anyway, will be denied entry and deported. They say, quote, it will greatly contribute to preventing international terrorist activities on our soil. Japanese spokesperson. Japan, unlike the U.S., will require resident foreigners as well as visitors to be fingerprinted and photographed every single time they re-enter the country. Forget about the threat that mankind poses to the earth. This is going to be a... Oh, by the way, coming up next hour, Dr. Michio Kaku, who is one of Earth's greatest minds, theoretical physicist, been on the show many times, brilliant. That'd be a good question for him. Forget about the threat that mankind poses to Earth. Our activities may be shortening the life of the universe as well. The startling claim made by a pair of American cosmologists investigating consequences for the cosmos of quantum theory, the most successful theory we have over the past few years, cosmologists have taken this powerful theory of what happens at the level of subatomic particles and tried to extend it to understand the universe since it began in the subatomic realm during the Big Bang. Now, what are we talking about here? There's an odd feature of the theory that philosophers and scientists still argue about. In a nutshell, it suggests that we change things simply by gazing at them, looking at them. That's it. And theorists have puzzled over this implication for years. They often illustrate their concerns about what theory means with mind-boggling experiments, notably Schrodinger's cat. You've heard about that, right? In other words, the cat is either dead or alive until you look. And when you look into the box and you see a dead cat, then it's dead. But before you look, it could well be alive. And so the scientist, new scientist, actually, a very well thought of publication, the New Scientist, reports a worrying new variant. As the cosmologists claim that astronomers may actually have accidentally nudged our universe closer to its death by observing dark energy. you can bet we're going to talk about that tonight. A mysterious anti-gravitic force, which is thought to be speeding up the expansion of the cosmos. So, just by looking at our own universe, we may have changed it. So you think of our universe as being in a box like a cat. The origin of life is one of the great unsolved problems of science. Nobody knows how or where or when life originated. But all we know for certain is that a microbial life had established itself on Earth in and about 3.5 billion years ago. In the absence of hard evidence of what came before, there's plenty of scope for disagreement. 30 years ago, the prevailing view among biologists was that life resulted from a chemical fluke, so incredibly improbable that it would be very unlikely to have happened twice in the observable, that's a very important word, universe. That conservative position was exemplified by Nobel Prize-winning French biologist Jacques Monod, who wrote in 1970, quote, "Man at last knows that he is alone in the unfeeling immensity of the universe, out of which he emerged only by chance." Now, that's a depressing statement. Listen again. Man at last knows he is alone in the unfeeling immensity of the universe, out of which he emerged only by chance. Or you could take the other view, that the universe is teeming with life. And that, believe it or not, folks, is something we're going to discuss with Dr. Kaku tonight. Now, that surprises me, because Dr. Kaku's always sort of shied away in the past from discussing SETI or any possibility of aliens, noting, I think quite logically, that there are so many light years away that they couldn't get here, or we couldn't get there. They're impossibly far away. And so, while never denouncing SETI, certainly, a scientist like Dr. Kaku have always sort of, well, I don't know, given it a wink and a nod and said, well, I suppose the money is not totally wasted, or something of that sort. Tonight, he actually wants to talk about SETI. That should be really interesting. Researchers in England have developed, get this, their own flying saucer, and it might be going to work for the U.S. and British military. Now, this will be a big problem for ufology. GFS Project's unmanned aerial vehicle can actually soar high in the air, hover, bank, fly over any terrain, making it ideal for military surveillance. Looks like a flying saucer. It uses an aerodynamic principle known as the Coanda effect. It takes off vertically from any solid surface. A propeller mounted atop the 2-foot-wide aircraft apparently pushes air down over the saucer-shaped body, creating a broad cone of thrust extending outward. Now, this caught my eye because if they begin flying in our skies, we're going to get millions of UFO reports. I saw a saucer. Well, indeed you did. And how will ufology ever differentiate between these things and those things? Answer is, they really won't. A physicist and his biologist son apparently, get this, folks, have destroyed a common virus using a super-fast pulsing laser without harming so much as a healthy cell. The discovery could lead to new treatments for viruses like HIV that have no cure. Quote, "We have demonstrated a technique of using laser to excite vibrations on the shield of a virus and damage it so there's no longer any functional virus at all," said the professor of physics at Arizona State University. "We're now testing it on HIV and hepatitis. So, hope for many if it works." Here's an article entitled, we have, on this program, many times talked about nanotechnology. And I've had a lot of nanotechnological people on the air. And inevitably, I ask, Is nanotechnology potentially dangerous? I always ask that. And they always answer, oh, no, Art. No, it's under control. Don't worry. And here's an article that states on nanotechnology, experts actually see more risks than does the public. In a surprising reversal of roles, nanotechnology scientists outrival the general public, all of you, including me, in seeing a cause for concern in some aspects of their work. Nanotechnology, the science of making things little, measured in units of 10,000 times smaller than the width of a human hair, holds, of course, spectacular promise in virtually every sector. But it also holds an awful lot of worry. For example, you might breathe in, you actually might breathe in a little nanotechnological something or another, and it would be so small that it would just go straight to your lung lining, and who knows what it's designed to do, right? There's no way to really, it might go in there and start doing it to your body. So that's something to worry about, and the people who do these nanobots, nanorobots, and so forth, while they talk about repairing damaged tissue with these little guys might go racing around your body, tearing up everything in sight. Something to worry a little bit about. The weather. Came from Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country. Weather wars are a possibility, at least in this article. It seems to suggest that when it gets either too cold or too hot, the world has more wars, and there is statistical evidence to back it up. We could look at the mini ice age and get it. There were more wars. In other words, any time temperature in the world changes dramatically, or even fairly dramatically, nations begin to get hungry, and they go to war with each other. Now, they tend to go to more quickly to war when it gets colder, but they also, more slowly, but inevitably, go to war also when it gets warmer. Now, it's okay for a while. Apparently, nations like warming weather for a little while, but then when it gets too warm, as when it gets cold, they go to war. Food and that sort of thing. University of Utah biologists genetically manipulated a, I believe they call it a nematode, little worm. So the animals were attracted to worms of the same sex, part of a study that shows sexual orientation is wired, at least in their brains. Biologist Eric Jorgensen says, quote, our conclusion is that sexual attraction is wired into the brain circuits, common to both sexes of these worms, and is not caused solely by extra nerve cells added to the male or female brain. Our conclusions are narrow in that they are about worms and how attraction behaviors are derived from the same brain circuit, but an evolutionary biologist will consider this to be potentially a common mechanism for sexual attraction. We cannot say what this means for human sexual orientation, but it raises at least the possibility that sexual preference is wired in the brain. Humans are subject to evolutionary forces just like worms. Seems possible that if sexual orientation is genetically wired in worms, it will be in people too. Humans have free will, so the picture is more complicated in people. All right, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour in a moment. When we come back, we're going to get a little promo about a show coming up tomorrow, Ian's show coming up tomorrow, and then we're going to go to Unscreened. That's right, Unscreened Open Lines. Now, what that means is I'm not going to have your call screened to see what they're all about, so I want them to be good. In other words, don't pick up the phone unless you have something really cool that everybody would be interested in. West of the Rockies, the number is 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time callers, 818, area code 818-501-4721. And finally, the wild card line, not quite finally, at area code 818-501-4109, internationally outside the country, 800-893-0903. Get a hold of the international operator, tell her you want to call Coast to Coast AM on the international toll-free line. Again, it's 800-893-0903. If you didn't get any of those, because I did it quickly, listen closely as we come back. We'll repeat them for you. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell in for George Norrie, and we'll be right back. Indeed, this evening in for George Norrie, and he's not the only one. The weekend has any number of hosts, one of which I've got on the line with me right now, Ian Punnett.
You want your Saturday night back yet? Is that what this is about?
I don't want it back, no. No, it's all yours, buddy, and what do you have planned?
Well, first of all, let me just say, always a pleasure to hear you on, and secondly, I got to get this to you, a friend of mine named David Mack, who writes Daredevil and a couple of other comics,
yeah.
Written a children's book, and he sent me a copy of it to give to you for Asia Rain, about a little girl who wants to be the vet for Bigfoot, Yeti and the Loch Ness Monster and other shy creatures.
Oh, I know she wants to get to my Yeti. She keeps reaching out for him. Soon she'll be able to do it, and then my cats will learn real fear.
So I'll have to get a copy of this to you autographed.
Contact me privately. I'll give you an address, Ian.
It's super cute. Hey, tomorrow night we have sort of the Michio Kaku of robots tomorrow night. He's David Levy. He's written a book called Love, Sex and Robots, and it is a futuristic look at companion robots. He's kind of worked out where we are right now with, even if you saw that piece earlier in the week about Japanese robots that are working on touch, the sensitivity of touch and language, and he takes a very provocative look, and provocative here probably being very literal, on how robots will be used as soon as 5 years, and maybe how they could replace human relationships altogether.
Really? Can you imagine a moment in your life, now or future, Ian, when you get so lonely or so whatever that you take up relations with a robot?
Now, he would argue.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, not me. No, I.
Not you.
No, but what he says is that we may get to a place where wives will want their husband to have a robot, a love robot.
Stepford robots.
Yeah, he talks a lot about people who are in difficult relationships or if there are sexual problems or other things, how robots will continue to serve men, as it were. But also true for women, too.
That should be a hell of a show.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, that should be a hell of a show. All right, well, that's enough. Believe me, that'll get people tuning in, buddy.
Well, Michio Kaku is going to be great tonight. It's always good to hear him back on.
He will be, indeed.
He'd only do it for you, Art.
Be great. All right, Ian. Tomorrow night, robots, sex, and you. Good night, Ian. We'll be right back. You know that thing that we all experience as we get older? And that is, my God, you call that music? We change, right? I've been convinced for years and years, decades actually, that getting older, if you achieve it, if you make it into your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, by the time you're ready to die, by the time you're ready to go, you are so fed up with a world where they've outlawed spanking and robots are available for sex that you just say, God, I'm ready to go. Take me. Take me. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Art. This is Ted down in Florida, South Florida. It's amazing that I get to talk with you. I was listening to Ian, and I was, like, waiting for him to hang up, and I pressed the last digit, and I got the ring, and I've been hanging on. It's great to talk with you guys. You're great. I just wanted to cover just a few things that was on my mind about the nanotechnology.
Yes.
Regarding, getting in and starting to, do its thing and starting to build its own, identity and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
To get back to nature, I was thinking, because I have a friend that has this affliction, and it's a very delicate...
Excuse me, what affliction?
Oh, I'm sorry. Morgellons disease.
Oh, yes. The mysterious Morgellons.
Yeah. And the only thing, and I'm so sad, and it's a hard subject to discuss and with her, and I feel that oregano, if they could just get some good organic oregano that's approved, GSA by the FDA, approved and everything, just take a couple of drops at a time and maybe get some lotion and start putting it on the sores, oregano.
Maybe.
And then just a couple other things I just want to mention real quick. One Bigfoot sighting in my life at about 9 years of age.
Where?
I upstate New York, where I grew up, up in north of Syracuse. And I saw it. I grew up in the woods, and I stayed out overnight in a made-up lean-to. I got up real early in the morning because a squirrel woke me up, and anyway, I make a long story short, I got up real quiet, stood up. I looked across the turtle pond. That's where all the Boy Scouts used to do their thing, the Girl Scouts. I looked out, and I saw this huge reddish-brown, mannish, postured thing walking. And it was just, like, so slow. And I saw it for, like, you know, maybe like 30 frames or something, like maybe like 2 or 3 seconds. I saw this image. And then another time in the same area, but maybe about 15 miles away, I witnessed a footprint of a Bigfoot going into a canal.
Yeah, but the only thing I can say about Bigfoot all the way around is, where are the bodies? Either Bigfoot is somewhat paranormal and is able to disappear, or we've got to get hold of the one guy I interviewed who knocked off, he claims, a couple of them and dig up the bodies. In other words, where are the bodies? Where's the proof of Bigfoot? Surely by now, I think there was a recent controversy about a chupacabra, right? And in the end, it turned out to be some sort of coyote or something. So, in other words, where are the bodies? You know, I'm certainly intrigued by and willing to investigate and look into all of this, but we need proof. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Howdy.
Hi, how are you?
Just spiffy, sir. How are you?
Good. Is this Art Bell?
It is. What's up?
I just wanted to let you know that my name is Larry, and I talked to George Norrie last week when Christian Wild was on there on the show.
Yes.
And I called in, and I have congenital heart disease, and I wanted to let him know that I wanted to let George know that I've been in contact with Mr. Wild. And he don't want to give me false hope, but he's going to talk to someone at Columbia University, and they're probably going to help me with my congenital heart disease and giving me a new heart.
Well, that's wonderful news. I guess you've got to get on a list, right? I believe you've got to get on a list if you want a new heart or other new body part, and you've got to wait and hope and pray. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, my name's Eric from Gardner.
From where?
Gardner, Massachusetts.
Welcome to the program. Turn your radio all the way off, please.
All right, 1 second.
It's very important because we get you on here live without a screener, so we can't have the echo.
Oh, I can't believe I'm on the air, sir.
You are, yes.
Oh, hello, Art. It's great to talk to you. Today I saw a triangular-shaped aircraft in the air about 8 o'clock today.
They're out there, all right.
It was hovering over me a little bit over the trees for about a minute or so. And I was working at a ski resort at the time, and to my amazement, nobody else saw it, even though I kind of pointed it out.
You mean you yelled at other people, look at that, and they didn't see it?
No, I kept on looking up. I was running the ski lift at the time, and I couldn't really stop it at the time. And I just kept on looking up the sky, and to my amazement, nobody else really looked up. And I mentioned to one person, but he didn't really look up.
Oh, well, why didn't you turn around and be, what the hell's the matter with you? Look at that!
Yeah, I really should have, but it was really amazing. It was so strange.
Well, they're up there. I've had my own personal sighting, as most of you well know. And so they certainly are there. Great, big, gigantic, triangular craft that are powered by, well, we don't know, do we? Something that apparently defies gravity because there's no sound. There's no apparent propulsion system. nor are they going fast enough to traditionally, at least temporarily, escape gravity with the aerodynamic principles we're all well aware of. So what the hell are they? On the wild card line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
This is Mary Michael Sampson from Salt Lake.
Okay, you're not allowed to actually give your full name, so let's begin again, and your name is Mary.
Yes.
Okay, Mary, what's up?
I just wanted to, I don't know if you know Jeffrey Seelman or not.
I do not.
He's been on the program for about the last 5 years. He's an exorcist and a healer and a friend of mine. And he is in the hospital, and he may die, and I just wondered if perhaps the people on this program might say a prayer for him. That's all.
Of course. I'm sure anybody so stricken deserves a prayer. Thank you very much, and I wish him well. A friend of mine, actually, a young man at the time, who was a competitor of mine, Billy Goodman. Wonder how many of you remember. Now, you'd have to be probably a person who lived out here in the middle of the desert back in the 1980s. But if you were, you'll recall a young man at that time whose name was Billy Goodman, still is, actually. He's still with us. But he's fighting cancer, and I spoke with Billy just yesterday upon hearing of his affliction, and I certainly wished him well. And it may well be that given an opportunity in one of the programs I've got coming up, I'll have Billy on the air. We were competitors in Las Vegas. I worked for KDWN Radio. He worked for, at that time, KVEG, both 50,000-watt radio stations, and we kind of had a blast. I mean, we were the only ones in the country doing it, as far as I know. And here all these years later, I got an opportunity to talk to Billy Goodman. He had a show called The Happening. And Billy is very, very ill with cancer, although feeling that he's with God and has turned his life and fate over to God in terms of treatment for the cancer. And we had quite a long talk, and I guess reminisced, and we'll probably have Billy on the air to say hello to you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, turn your radio off, please.
Yeah, it's off.
Good. Good for you. Where are you, and who are you?
I'm in Tennessee, and my name is Wade.
Okay, Wade, welcome.
Thank you.
Proceed. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. This is a fantastic show. Michio Kaku is
the best.
Profound.
Yes, indeed.
Very impressive. I wanted to tell you on the air about a very large triangular craft that I saw a long time ago when I was in my early teens.
Okay, they're real.
It was unbelievable. I pointed it out to my father, and he said, "A weather balloon." And I just said, no,
how old are you now?
So.
How old are you now?
I'm 55 now.
55. This was in your teens. Now, while one might imagine that we've developed something triangular, secret, and quiet by now, certainly it would not have existed that long ago, now would it?
No, I didn't think so. He said weather balloon, and I said, no, it's going against the trade winds.
Did he see it?
Yes, he did.
So yes, what to you was a triangle, to him was a weather balloon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was so high up that it was reflecting sunlight. It was nighttime.
I see.
And it was triangular shaped, and you could see the reflection of the sunlight because the sun had gone down a couple of hours before.
Oh, well, then that would have made it very, very high in the sky, if still within the atmosphere at all, to be reflecting any sunlight whatsoever. Within an hour or two at the most, I guess, of sunrise or sunset, rather, you might observe, for example, a satellite that would still be in sunlight. But you've got to get awfully high 2 hours after sunset to be seeing reflected sun on anything. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, yes, Art. This is Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going? Yes, I'd like to, first of all, let's say hi to my pals on Pal Talk. And second of all, you're talking about SETI that's going to be the talk about SETI with...
No, actually, Dr. Kaku wants to talk about SETI, which is something of a surprise to me.
Yes, well, if you want to talk about SETI, I think you don't have to look any further than the archival reply. Do you remember the archival reply back in 2001?
No.
Well, you remember the archival message that we sent back out in 1970?
Oh, yes. Oh, you're talking about from Arecibo.
Yeah, Arecibo, sorry. My pronunciation is not all that great. But the Arecibo message that we sent out back in 1974.
Sure.
Do you remember the reply we got back in 2001?
You're talking about the crop circle?
Yes, the crop circle itself. We got the reply from the Grays themselves.
Well, I'm not sure that was authenticated as a real crop circle insofar as they're able to authenticate crop circles as real, but oh, it was amazing, yes.
Well, I got to say that that crop circle, there's no way that that could have been done in one night.
Yeah.
That crop circle that was made, I have to say that crop circle was made by the Grays themselves.
Well, okay, that's your opinion. I don't necessarily share it with you. I guess amazing things have been done in one night by large groups of people. Although I'm kind of with you. On the other hand, it seems impossible.
Yes, it does.
I know about the reply, the alleged reply, and all the rest of it, but I don't think we were able to authenticate that as beyond any shadow of a doubt. You know, we saw, for example, molecular changes to the grain and the seeds and that kind of stuff. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Hello?
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, okay. I did. I'm very sorry, Art.
Right.
I just thank you for taking my call. You folks have really inspired me to the heavens. And I'm saying prayers for your friend, by the way. I wish him the best, and I think it's great he's given his life over to God. And I also wanted to mention about the spankings. I am outraged, absolutely outraged. And the only way that these people, whoever they are, they have some major, major problems. They can be overcome. You had a guest on last night with George Norrie, and that man... to me, is one of these people that says, he mentioned that they can be overcome, but they have to be overcome with love, and we have to forgive them. They have major issues. They have to know that their soul is on the line, and make no mistake about it, their souls are on the line. And we have to be brave, we have to believe in God, and know that we will overcome all of their evil.
Well, that's very charitable of you. As far as I'm concerned, they're idiots.
They are. They're very ignorant, and they're not knowing what's really going on the other side of the, after we pass on.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine not being able to give giving a child a little swat on the back end to stay away from that electric socket or whatever it is for the child's welfare, and then having the police march in and arrest you?
I am, you know what, Art? I am one of these people that, ordinarily, I don't even believe in corporal punishment, but let me tell you, I was raised in an upper middle class family, and I got swatted a few times on the butt.
Right.
And this is way over the top. And we as a free American society, we need to speak up, speak out. I haven't seen the most recent movie with Tom Cruise and Meryl Streep and Robert Redford, but I read a little excerpt, and Robert Redford was saying something to that effect. We cannot let people, ignorant people, and evil people overrun this country. This country is great because we have voices.
All right. We can't let the country become overrun by idiots. That's the bottom line. Idiots. I saw a movie, she mentioned movies, I think it was yesterday, in which the genetic undoing of America was, in a comedic way, described rather accurately. You know, those with money and wits didn't reproduce, and the idiots did, and maybe that's happening to us. We'll be right back.